Is American Christianity a white Western European version? Is racism present in the church? Are all white people racist? On this slice of fresh bread. Welcome to Fresh Bread, a podcast ministry of Grace Bible Church, Gainesville, with Pastor Brandon and Pastor Keith. Well, thank you for clicking on Fresh Bread. Fresh Bread. Fresh Bread, where we're bringing the truth of God's Word to a starving world. Fresh Bread Podcast 128. Today, we're going to have an interesting conversation, I hope and pray. And we're going to tackle the subject of racism. Is racism present in the church? Is the American church or American Christianity a white Western European version of Christianity? And also, this little simple, little tiny little question, are all white people racist? So this is what we're going to tackle today. And Pastor Brandon is here. I'm Pastor Keith. And this is something that you kind of hit on a little bit in our equipping hour on Sunday. It seems like you said it's something that's on your heart that you see creeping into the church, all this racism and woke and critical race theory and social justice and diversity, equity, inclusion. I can go on and on, but I'm just going to let you talk now. So what's on your heart about racism? And should we start at the beginning? I'm just going to let you go. What do you think about all this?
Well, I mean, what I brought up on Sunday was that since 2020, for sure, it actually started before, it had its beginning before 2020, but I think 2020 with the Floyd incidents there in Minnesota, basically there's this push that basically you asked the question, or I think you asked the question, are all white people racist? And that's sort of what's inferred is that because of your race, because you're white, then you have more advantages in the system and you're standing on the shoulders of other people and you have all these advantages. And so, you know, it's basically a systemic racism, you know, the idea that the whole system is racist against others or minorities. And because you're part of that system as a white person, especially as a white man, then you are automatically racist. And we've even had, you know, President Biden had, I saw a clip where he literally said that basically all white men are racist because we just don't get it. And, you know, we just haven't lived the life that other minorities have lived. And so we don't understand. And therefore, because of being part of the system and not understanding, we are inherently racist. And that, I mean, that's a concern. That's actually racism. I mean, that's what they're doing is actually the very heart of racism, which racism, you know, just to kind of lay the groundwork here, you know, here at Grace Bible Church, we believe that God created Adam and Eve, and that Adam and Eve are the father and the mother of all humanity. And so ultimately, because of that, because every person that lives has descended from Adam and Eve, and by the way, have descended from Noah and his three sons, every person on earth have descended from those people. And so even, you know, Black people, Chinese people, Korean people, you know, Anglo-Saxon, doesn't matter. Everybody is descended from a single ancestor. And so, you know, we don't see races in Scripture. I mean, we see nations and we see cultures, but, you know, race is really a human construct, you know, that drives wedges between people. And, you know, we all have different cultures. I mean, there's different culture, you know, Asian culture, there's, you know, Black culture, there's white culture, and there's different cultures, but in terms of races, it's a sinful way to look at it. And so, but the Bible does say not to show partiality, and you know, not to show partiality. And so when we prefer one race over the other in an ungodly way, then that's showing partiality, which is a sin. And so this whole DEI and all the things that you mentioned earlier, social justice, all of that is actually racism because they're showing partiality, and they shouldn't be. And because that's not how God created us.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad you brought up the Bible and the races. We're all descended from Adam and Eve and Noah's sons. Looking back at history, when we look at, like, let's go back to the Roman times, when the Roman Empire was ruling the world, did they see like Egypt as a different race? The Gauls and the Greeks, did they see them as a different race?
I don't know specifically to the Roman Empire. I do know that they allowed people to keep the same, cultural aspects. I mean, that we see that in Israel where they were able to have their own religious authorities, and they even had a king, King Herod, even though King Herod was actually an Edomite and was a false king, but he still was the king of the Jews, little k king of the Jews. And then you had Pilate, who basically was over the top. I mean, he was the representative of Rome, but by and large, Israel was allowed to rule themselves within Rome, as long as they didn't cause problems, which was, part of the issue with Jesus and the things that were going on. Was that they were concerned about a revolution, that way, and there were revolutions that happened, during that time period, and so, but as long as a state within, from my understanding of it, as long as a state or a nation within the Roman Empire, as long as they behaved themselves, they were allowed to keep their own culture, and so does that make sense?
What I was looking at is, did back then, and I am going somewhere with this, it may sound funny, but when they divided people up, was it more by language rather than skin color? Because where I'm going with this is, did Darwin, is he the one that kind of set the race part front and center by, we all evolve from lower life forms, we evolved from monkeys, and so some evolved more. Is that where all this stuff comes from when you talk about like racism is a social concept? Is that where it started? Because when I'm looking at it, European history going way back to, 1000 AD, you have pockets of people who are French, who are British, who are German, like all these Prussian, Russian, and they. I think what unites them is their language, not necessarily their color. But color then all of a sudden bursts on the scene, and now everyone's different races and different cultures. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I because of sinful man, I can't answer when the quote unquote racist became, what was the genesis or what was the beginning of that? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't know enough about world history in that way to be able to say this is, to be able to pinpoint it to a certain point. I do know that, Darwin, when he wrote his paper that we know as On the Origin of Species, but it's actually, the paper actually says, the title of the paper is actually On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection or the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. And so, obviously the races were a known concept at that point because he used it in the title, but I think that's where you can definitely pinpoint that to a time frame when this idea that there's favored races was brought to the forefront, there's superior races, like, whites are superior to blacks, or, Asians are smarter than whites, or blacks are better athletes, and that those kind of stereotypes began to be born out of that. Now, what's interesting is that Jimmy the Greek got in trouble for saying that black guys are more athletic than white guys, and you know, there is some truth to it. I mean, it's more genetic. It's genetics. It's not that white guys are inferior athletically, and you know, like in a sense of, you know, just because you're white doesn't mean you can't be athletic. And we've seen, you know, some incredibly athletic white people, but genetically, people who are black are probably going to be more athletic. And that's just how the genetics work. And it's not, has nothing to do with racism.
Again, looking at history, and I'm looking at, you know, from 1000 on, because I was a history major. So I enjoyed studying, you know, all the wars that happened in Europe. You have these pockets of people who are, you know, like we talked about the French, and then the French fought the British, and the British fought the French, and the French fought the Russians. And there are different people groups who are different by language, and you know, Western Europe is mostly white people with different languages. But you also have, you know, Darwin coming on the scene, and then coming to the 20th century, Adolf Hitler taking all of that and saying the Jews are the problem. They're the ones that need to be exterminated. So you're trying to wipe out an entire, you know, I mean, Haman tried the same thing in the Book of Esther. But it's interesting how all that comes on the scene, and then we enter into the 21st century in the United States of America. We have President Barack Obama. And so you think, okay, we have a black president. That proves without a shadow of a doubt America is not a racist country, even though we don't even believe in races, because there's no such thing as race. We're all on the human race, but we have different cultures. But at least that proves it, right? Racism is over. We have a black president. It proves that we are not racist. But what it did was almost make everything worse.
Yeah, I don't know. I would say it doesn't prove that there isn't any racism. I don't know if you're being sarcastic or not, but sounds like maybe you are. But I think it ultimately ended up creating more racism. And I think it made it okay that you can, you know, they call it reverse racism, you know, where instead of whites being racist against blacks, it's blacks against whites. But at the end of the day, I don't even know why we'd put the reverse on there. It's just racism. And actually, the election of Barack Obama made it worse. I mean, ultimately, part of that was because, in my opinion, Barack Obama was elected. He was elected as a unifier, but he was also elected, I mean, I know of a lot of people who voted for him because he was a respectable black man. But, you know, the problem with Obama was, is that he did some things, a lot of things politically, that instead of being a unifier, he was a divider. And instead of being, a guy that is, you know, stands for the truth and is truly a guy who should be president, he turned out to be something completely different. And yeah, I think that made it worse. And then you had, you know, Trump come in, and then you had George Floyd?
Yeah, George Floyd.
Yeah, George Floyd.
Trayvon Martin was also a couple of years before that.
That was actually, I think Obama was still president when that one happened, because Trayvon Martin, because he said that it could be his own son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, no, I wasn't being sarcastic, but because I'm saying, how can you be racist if you elect a black president?
Well, racism still exists.
No, I know what you mean, but I'm just saying, you would think that would solve people's, that would, you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I think if you're looking at it from a high-level point of view, that are we a racist country, a truly racist country would not have elected Barack Obama as president. You know, truly racist, like racism defines the country. No, you're right.
I think maybe some people have voted for him because they felt like, I got to prove that I'm not, so I'm going to vote for him. But he did. He came right out.
There was a lot of white guilt in that, for sure. You know, that basically, you know, trying to right all the wrongs from the past. And we've had slavery was not a good thing. So, I mean, how many of the slaves were treated was wrong. And how they came to be here to be enslaved was wrong. It was man stealing. And so, you know, there are things about our past that are, you know, basically problematic. But, you know, what they don't realize is that this country fought a war, and this country, we actually went through a lot, not just fighting a war, but we went through a lot to free the slaves. And so, you know, there's more to that. I mean, there's more to it than that. I mean, and you're never going to have everybody not be racist. I mean, it's never going to happen outside of Christ. So,
yeah, we had 600,000 white men, you know, die for that reason, and it was horrible war. So by having slavery in our history in America, does that mean that all white people who are born in America are racist?
Well, that's what they would try to say, you know.
And we don't even know it.
Yeah, because we have advantages because of the system that was built on the back of slavery. That's the argument. And, you know, I've never owned a slave. I never will own a slave. So I'm not, why are you putting me in that category? It's just, and the reason is because of the advantages. I mean, that's what they say, is because of the advantages that I have because of, you know, what's happened in the past.
Yeah, that gets into the two, there's two worldviews right now that are battling in the United States. And the one is, Muhammad Ali said this back in the 70s. He said it was black slaves that made America great. And then we have Voddy Baucham, who before he passed away said Christianity made America great. So we have two black men, each one on different sides, who are arguing about how America became this great nation. That's the battle right now. And so they're saying that black people, because they were slaves, are on the bottom, and they've never been able to come out of that bottom. They've always been, they're stuck there, and white people are oppressing them. And so, yeah.
Well, ironically, it's when you look at the history of the 20th century, well, really from the Civil War all the way through, that by the time you get to the Civil Rights Act of, you know, the 1960s, under Lyndon Johnson, if you look at the black culture prior to that, it actually, they were making great progress. They were making an incredible amount of progress, even though there was still systemic racism, you know, with using different facilities and all of that, even still, they were still making progress. They had, I don't know what the percentages were. I can't remember off the top of my head, but they had, you know, a majority of homes that had a father and a mother present. And, you know, that's been completely reversed to where it's almost, that's the exception, not the rule. So the rule was before that they had a mother and a father, and, you know, they were making more money. They were doing better and better. And so, you know, if the Civil Rights Act had never been enacted, that they would have been better off than they are now. And I'm not saying that it was right to be, you know, segregating the way we were segregating. But I'm also saying that even still, they were on a better trajectory than they've been on since then.
I think you're right. I think it's trying to force things too quickly to happen that maybe have to happen over time. And it's,
well, yeah. And that's interesting that actually brings up an issue of, it's easy for us to sit here in our modern day and say, oh, they should have done this or should have done that. They should have, you know, gone quicker or whatever. And, you know, but it was a process. I mean, it was a process that had to happen, that was a very difficult process to go through, to assimilate, you know, from being slaves to being full free men. And it you just couldn't snap your fingers and make it happen overnight. It took, well, really, it took, I would argue, it took 80 or 85 years, or maybe 80 years. And then you had the Civil Rights Act in the 1960s that I think set them back. And from, you know, when that, that they've stopped making the progress they were making before that.
Yeah. Well, I think that was one of the things that Abraham Lincoln was working on before he was assassinated.
But the Civil Rights Act, while I agree with desegregation in the sense of making it should be unlawful to have separate facilities based on race, right?
That's, yeah, absolutely,
you know, or even where you sit on the bus or all that should be outlawed. That should not be with the law. But I think that the Civil Rights Act also created some bigger issues where you forced segregation, and you had situations. I don't know if you remember growing up, but I know in Arkansas that it was a big deal, especially in the bigger towns. It was busing. So they were busing kids from one part of town to the other part of town in order to force integration. Mm-hmm. It should be outlawed to have something where it's like I say, if a black child wants to go to a certain school, you know, they shouldn't be disincluded because they're black, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, for the government to then to get involved with it and force this integration and, you know, force it by busing people all over the place, I mean, it just, it was terrible. And it caused more problems than it was trying to solve, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that brings us to, I think, what happened to the black family is, you know, we look back in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, there were black families. They were a mother, a father. And then all of a sudden the 60s come and then things start to...
Well, that's because the law, the Civil Rights Act actually began to... And, you know, he had the war... Johnson had the war on poverty and, you know, the whole thing where, you know, we began to get these social programs and, you know, that it ended up being that a black woman or any woman really, but what would happen is that they would get on welfare, and the more kids they have, the more welfare they get. But if they got married, they wouldn't be eligible for that. So basically that destroyed the family. And when you have guys that are, you know, promiscuous, they want to, you know, they don't want to settle down in their flesh. They want to, you know, go and play the field, so to speak. But it was a perfect setup for them because they had girls on the side and, you know, that had, you know, had their children, but they didn't have to settle down and they could just kind of play the field. And, you know, it destroyed the family. It literally destroyed the black family. And today, you know, it's certainly the exception to find a good solid family of, you know, mother, father, and children and grandchildren and a legacy. They exist for sure, but it's you know, definitely more the minority than the majority of it.
Absolutely. You've got men who have 12 different kids with 12 different women. I mean, that's not uncommon anymore, and it's a sad way to go through life when you look at these kids growing up who don't have a dad. And then what are we on now? About the fourth generation of this?
Yeah.
And it's getting worse.
Yeah, it is. And I just to bring this back to the church, you know, it's interesting because, you know, you ask the question, or maybe you ask, you know, there's white churches and there's black churches, there's Chinese churches. And, you know, the question is that okay? And, you know, a lot of people would say, you know, we need diversity. And well, the truth of the matter is it's not sinful to be more comfortable around in a certain culture. Like it's okay to be more comfortable in a white culture. And so, you know, and it's okay that, you know, that some churches are predominantly white. It's okay that some churches are predominantly African-American or black. It's okay. Those things are fine. I think where you get into trouble is similar to what I was describing in Arkansas, which was the busing issue, where you begin to force that. You begin to force and say, oh, you're wrong because you're predominantly white or whatever. And so you start forcing diversity, and we shouldn't do that. I've never tried to force diversity in at Grace Bible Church. I just don't think it's not what we should be doing. We should be preaching the gospel to all men and women, and whoever comes and doesn't matter what their color or their nationality is. It doesn't matter. We don't see people. We shouldn't be seeing people in that way, you know, in terms of, I mean, obviously we can see them and we can see their nationality or their color, but we shouldn't be judging them in that way. And we should want everyone to come who will come. And if that's predominantly white, then so be it. If there's a mix of people that come and are there, that's great. It's incredible. I'd love to see the diversity. I encourage the diversity, but I'm not going to force it. I'm not going to force it. And I'm not going to go doing things to, you know, make white people feel guilty. I'm not going to do it.
Well, it almost seems like the churches are actually going back to segregation. Because, you know, I would agree. I'm agreeing with you because I do believe if you have different languages, like if there's Hmong or Korean or Spanish, there's nothing wrong with having an all Spanish, all, you know what I mean? That kind of service.
Yeah. I mean, it's problematic. As a matter of fact, some of the guys, I mean, I know, what's his name? That was my Greek professor. It's slipping my mind.
Dr. Felix.
Dr. Felix. Yes. Yeah, I mean, he basically said that young black men who are going into the ministry should be going to the black church. Like, they're learning at TMS, learned at TMS, and they should be going into the black church. And I can see that. I can understand it, but they need to be going where they're called, right? Whether they're called to, they should be going to where God wants them to go and where God calls them to go. And he'll make that clear on a case by case basis. And, it's a beautiful thing, really, to, if you have, strong black churches that are doctrinally sound, that's a beautiful thing. And we should celebrate that. As a matter of fact, if there were a solid church here in Gainesville, I would love to see us partner with them if there were a solid black church here. And I don't know of any, unfortunately, and maybe there are. I hope, and maybe somebody will correct me on that, but I don't know of any that are solid. But it would be amazing if Grace Bible Church could partner in ministry with a church like that, and to celebrate the fact that the cultures are different, but that we worship the same Lord.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with coming together with like-minded believers. It, doctrinally, though, it has to be, we always talk about that, it has to be solid because doctrine matters. So bringing this back, you and I just kind of did our little history lesson on the history of racism and how we look at it, where it's, the Bible doesn't talk about race, it talks about cultures, but we live in a world where the rest of the world sees race and racism. And now I want to just bring it right to the church. Like you've kind of been hitting the edges of it, but let's dive into the church. What do you see? Should the churches be doing like critical race theory and social justice? Why do you see this as a danger to the church?
Well, for sure that we've talked about, it's kind of, at this point, we've been talking for 4 years about the issues of DEI and social justice and, the woke theology that, that's invading the church. That's problematic and needs to be dealt with. I'm actually more, I'm still concerned about that because it's still a problem, right? As there's still churches out there that, have succumbed to woke theology and, are being basically devoured from within. That's still problematic and could even affect Grace Bible Church if, depending on people come in who have those backgrounds. But I think right now, as I look at it, with even looking at Christian nationalism, I think that, we've talked a lot about Christian nationalism and, the problem is it's associated with what I would say is white Christian nationalism, which is basically that, basically an emphasis that we have a white culture and that we need to protect that white culture. And I think that's dangerous, right? I think that's a dangerous thing if you take it to that level. And that's what I'm concerned is I'm seeing because of the backlash potentially in the church where people are now going to be racist, like basically the old way of being racist because of a backlash from what's happened in the past, half a decade. And so that's my biggest concern right now, especially when you have guys that are running around out there that are, like Fuentes and others that are running around out there saying things that are inflammatory. And, they're speaking, Fuentes is speaking mostly about the Jews, but he definitely seems to be a guy or is a guy that's, going to be a white, he's going to be fighting for the white race, so to speak. And so, that's problematic. And I'm concerned about the church and making sure that at least in our little mud puddle that we deal with, that we're making people aware that, both ways are racist, whether you're on one side or the other, both are racist. And that biblical truth is, to show no partiality, that's what God has revealed. And, that every person is made in the image of God, no matter what their color is, no matter, what they look like, they're made in the image of God. And they need to have the dignity as such, be given, the respect and dignity as such. And so that's my biggest concern in the church today, is that under the guise of basically this is what's happened with DEI and social justice and the woke theology, it's this backlash that says, okay, that actually brings back some of those racist things in the church. So I am concerned about that. I am concerned about that.
Okay, so you just mentioned, you know, Christian nationalism and all this. How do you separate American Christianity from the white Western European version of Christianity? Are they the same? The Christianity that came from England and all the other places that, you know, the pilgrims came here and all this, they came they sought religious freedom. So that's plays a big factor in American nationalism. But how do we separate that from the white Western European, or do we even have to? Should we be ashamed of that?
Well, I think the short answer is we shouldn't be ashamed of history like that history that, you know, that we did have some people who came that were incredibly strong and, you know, laid the groundwork for this nation, and, you know, that they came from Europe and they did that. And I don't think we should be ashamed of that because they brought a superior culture. I mean, and I know that can be inflammatory, but there are superior cultures, and, you know, we see it in the world today. You can't tell me that the culture, you know, in some of the African nations are as good as the culture here in the United States. I mean, it's just Western culture has been a superior culture, and it's because of the influence of Christianity. It's because we are Christian. And so, you know, and I know that can be, I know a lot of people would argue about that and probably get their hackles up, so to speak, because of me saying that. But the truth of the matter is that, it is true. Now, does that mean that we should be prejudiced against other cultures? No, we should celebrate them. I mean, that's what, it's interesting because when we go around the throne, you know, in Revelation 5, when we're worshiping the Lamb, we're going to be standing with all the nations. And so all the nations are going to be represented there. And so, I mean, the Lord loves nations and cultures, and there's going to be a variety of them. Even once everything is done, Revelation 22, there's going to be nations, and it's going to all be for God's glory.
I think the church forgets that God is sovereign, and God has he designed the way that the gospel spread. It was to go west, and it went west, and it's been going west. Is there a reason? Remember, I don't know if it's in Acts or wherever, but it talks about do not go here, but go this way.
Yeah, Paul specifically, he directed him away from certain areas and into other areas. And it seems like Paul was pushing more west.
And the reason is because the civilization and the roads and all these things, that's what spread the gospel.
Yes.
And so And it's almost like for us to be ashamed of who we are, that I'm ashamed that I'm white. I didn't choose to be born white. Neither one of us chose our great-great-grandparents or grandparents or parents. So that's what I mean. I don't understand all of this, some of this, where you're racist and you need to, and this was, like you were talking about in the year 2020, the George Floyd thing, people, they were saying white people should go around to black people and kneel down and ask them for forgiveness if you see them on the street. I was like, why? It boggles the mind.
Yeah. I mean, it's sinful man trying to gain an advantage. I mean, that's all it is. And that there's always going to be conflict among humans. And more times than not, it's probably going to be in conflict, you know, based on, you know, some, you know, culture or skin color or, you know, those kind of things that artificially, well, it's culture separates us, but it shouldn't separate us. It should, I mean, we should celebrate that, and that we should love other cultures, even if it's not our culture. Meaning that there's good things about the black culture that I love. I mean, I think that the you know, music, a lot of the music has been influential, and even the music that we've listened to in the past, you know, 50 years, 60 years, not all of it is good, right? But not all of white music has been good either. So, but there are things that we can celebrate from that, and accomplishments that we can celebrate and be thankful for that, you know, from different cultures that contribute to the world around us.
Absolutely. I mean, and we would say we are in favor of social justice if you define it as the belief that all people and all groups of people deserve equal rights and opportunities and treatment in society. We would agree with that, but we
would say that they need to be given equal opportunity in the sense of we may not all start at the same place, but we all have opportunity ahead of us. And, you know, but what we would reject wholly, completely reject, would be that there needs to be equality of outcome. That, you know, and so because it just doesn't, it is not, I mean, it, there's always going to be inequality in outcome. And that, because there's so many different factors that go into that, and you can't artificially make sure that everybody lands at the same place. It's just not going to happen. It's interesting because, you know, I look back at my own life and the progress that I've made in my own life, but there's a ceiling that I'll never pass. And I realize that. I mean, there's a ceiling there. I'm not going to be as successful as other people, some other people. And you know what? That's okay. Cause I had all the opportunities that I, you know, I had freedom to do what I wanted to do. And, you know, that, I just because I didn't end up where other people did doesn't mean that somehow the system's against me. I mean, and the truth of the matter is the system really is against a lot of people, but yeah. I mean, it's hard. Life is hard. And you know that, yeah, some people have more advantages and that's okay. I mean, it's not against every, I mean, it's not a problem as long as everybody has freedom to pursue, you know, the Constitution, what, you know, the Constitution says, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so we all are free to do that. Now, it's not all going to turn out the same for everybody, but we're free to pursue those things.
Absolutely. And it doesn't make sense to have, let's say, people who can read and people who can't read, people who can do math and people who can't do math, understand it, that you say that, okay, because the Black community now, they're reading at a sixth grade level, they're doing math at a sixth grade level, we have to lower standards of air traffic controllers and everything down to that level so that they can...
Are those actual statistics or are you just making that up?
I'm just saying that they're talking about, because I've heard this said that reading and math are racist. They're racist because they're set up by white people for white people. They're not for Black people. And I don't understand any of that because math is math. 1 + 1 = 2, but they say that's racist. You can't change them because someone doesn't agree with it. That's where we are at as society. And the fact that people can't read because white people, they say, have their mom and dad read to them when they're little. So reading is racist. They were lowering the standards, like even to get into college. And then they're put in these, they become a lawyer or they become a judge. And it's just a, like you said, those are the jobs that you have to excel. There's certain jobs and I'm never going to get there. I'm never going to be a judge. I don't think I could even pass the bar, anything like that. I'm just very thankful I made it through seminary. But yet they're lowering it because they want to have everybody equal. We need so many Black people here, so many Asian people. So it's gotten to the point where I don't know if we're in, like we talk about Romans 1, where people can't use their brains anymore.
Yeah.
And
the only thing I would, I mean, you're right, I think, on most of what you said in general. Like I just pulled it up and, you know, for fourth grade mathematics, white students score an average of 29 points higher than Black students. And for eighth grade, it stays the same. And this is on lower level national assessments. White students scored 126, Asian 129, and Black students 110. And that's mathematics. And the same kind of things are happening in reading and sciences. And so yeah, you know, going back to what you're talking about jobs and, you know, using as an example, I think you brought up air traffic controller. Instead of finding good candidates that are able to do the job, you know, that there's this push to be, you know, to be more inclusive, and they have to lower standards in order to do that. And so, the problem is, instead of giving people a hand up, I mean, if the standards stay the standards for everybody, then if black people want to be pilots, or if black people want to be air traffic controllers, they're going to have to come up to the standard. And that's what we want. We want them to get to that standard. I mean, I want to see black students be able to get to those standards, and I want to encourage them to get to those standards, but we can't give them a handout. We have to give them a hand up, if that makes sense.
Right. I think to be a doctor, a dentist, a pilot, you kind of want guys that are pretty sharp,
Yeah. Or women. No matter what color they are, we want people who are going to be pretty sharp.
But, absolutely. And yeah. When I was talking about math, I was just saying, because I was not a great math student. I was always in the slow class. And so what I'm trying to say is that I wasn't a great math guy. I can add, I can subtract, I can multiply, but I can't do geometry. Algebra, I just never understood it. That's what I'm trying to say, is that it's okay.
Well, yeah, modern black culture is holding them back.
Yeah.
There are those who are they're capable. They have all the tools in terms of mental faculties and abilities, talents, and in some cases even greater talents. But the problem has been that the black culture has held them back. The way it is, and when I say that, what I mean is that, as I said earlier, there's some great, amazing things about black culture that we need to celebrate. But there are some problematic stuff, which we talked about. The destruction of the family is one of, fatherlessness in the black community is at an epidemic level. And so, yeah, I mean, definitely some cultures are more, that's what's interesting, is that the Asian culture, when it comes to school and when it comes to doing math and science and those things, are because of their culture, because they're so hardworking, and many of these families, they end up excelling. It's not that they're somehow better than everybody else. It's the work ethic that they have. And, a lot of people believe that comes from, the history of where they came from and why, how they came through and, that sort of thing. So yeah, I know it's interesting, because I hope nobody listens to this and thinks that I'm coming across as racist, or you are coming across as racist. It's, we're trying to understand this biblically, and we're trying to address it biblically and make sure that people know that, it's interesting, because anytime you talk about race, then, people automatically assume you're racist. And
yes,
there's nothing racist in my heart that way. I want to celebrate different cultures, and I love the black culture. I love the white culture too. So, white culture is my culture. So even though I love black culture, it doesn't mean that I have to be in black culture, right? Just, I can love it while still loving my own culture.
Yeah.
And, how I was raised, and how I was, the good aspects of how I was raised and that sort of thing. So I just think that we ought to be celebrating these cultures, not trying to tear them down.
Yeah. Yeah. And we are two older white guys, looking at this, trying to look at it biblically. And I think what they're trying to do with all of this is, we look at the things that are creeping into the church, is again, they are trying to divide the church. They're trying to divide the country. They're trying to divide people. It's always to divide, right?
Yeah, that's the enemy's playbook. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
And especially when it comes to the church, he wants nothing more than to divide God's people.
Yeah.
And if it has to be based on race, then so be it. And we just can't fall for it. And that doesn't mean that we have to force diversity, right? I don't need to force diversity and not fall for it. Well, I have to basically, what I just explained, I need to celebrate the good aspects of all cultures and be thankful for them.
Forcing anything is a hard thing. I always think of immigration like that, when Biden was forcing immigration, by pumping in just all these people, rather than doing it the way they always had done it in the past, I think it just was too much for people to take. You know, it wasn't the right way to do it. And again, forcing it.
it's funny you say that we're two old white guys talking about this. And I know that some people are going to who could listen to this and you know, say that you're two old white guys, you just don't get it. But the truth of the matter is that nothing's changed. There's nothing new under the sun. You know, the Bible has already addressed all these things, and I just need to understand what the Bible says, and I need to apply that. And, you know, and it's hard because, you know, there's all, because the enemy is against us, and he's trying to sow seeds of discord. And he's definitely trying to do that within our own church. And, you know, whether it's these kind of things or whether it's the Jewish question or whatever it is, I mean, he's trying to sow seeds of discord, and we have to resist it by knowing and living by the truth.
Absolutely. I had a job where they made us go to this diversity workshop. And so I got sent to a diversity workshop, and then they asked me what diversity meant to me. And I just said, diversity means a lot of different things. You've been listening to Fresh Bread, a podcast ministry of Grace Bible Church Gainesville. For more information, go to gracegainesville.org. And thanks for listening.